Welcome to Middle School Matters podcast number 678, Socratic Mentorship. We're going to talk about how you could build a Socratic mentor for your classroom, some jokes, and some other resources. So without further ado, here's the wonderful, the magnanimous, the Mr. Troy Patterson.
All right, welcome back to the show. I am Troy Patterson, and with me is the world's greatest co-show host, Mr. Sean McGurr. Hey, Sean.
Well, hello there. How are you?
I am doing all right. We are back after a couple of weeks, off. It was because I was dealing with a death in the family, so I had to take care of that. But we're back, and it also means that the last couple of weeks was I was doing work stuff, but not like intensive work stuff, right?
Right.
So I wasn't.
Yep.
I mean, I was anything that needed it, that truly needed attention, I was taking care of. But otherwise, I was, you know, kind of passing some things off to my team or saying, you know, okay, this can wait. This is not a right now issue. It's more of a, yeah, we got to do it sometime issue. So we'll do that. So I have a pretty big to-do list, but that is what it is. So, so I do it, but I do have a couple of thoughts for you.
All right. I'm ready.
Time flies like an arrow.
Yes.
Fruit flies like a banana.
That's true. Yes.
That's one that I told somebody and they're like, huh? And I was like, yeah, I got to think of the differences of like. Oh. Needless to say, that was not one of their favorite ones.
That's too bad.
Yeah. A friend of mine went on an interview, and they said they were giving him all kinds of questions. And they said, name as many animals as you can in 1 minute. And he pointed at the squirrels out the window and said, Geraldine, Billy, Andrew, John. They said, no, that's not what I meant.
No.
He said, well, maybe you should have said what you meant. didn't really get the job, but, you know. Oh, I did order a new book online.
You did?
Yeah, How to Accept Rejection.
Okay.
They never shipped it.
Oh, that's one of those reality books.
Yeah. Ooh, but I did just buy a new TV remote control with 50 buttons.
Really?
Yeah, I was pretty surprised they allowed me to pay with buttons.
Oh, yeah. That's a good deal.
I threw away a permanent marker the other day.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It showed up back up on my desk with the word permanent slightly bigger and underlined.
Oh. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. That would.
I also have a visual joke for you. And it centers off the old argument of whether toilet paper goes rolled over or rolled under.
Okay.
So I'll just leave that for you there. But you can check that one out. And then finally, I'm going to leave you with not really a joke, but just a thought. I give respect to everyone that I meet. It's up to them to keep it.
Aw.
I kind of like that one. So the other thing I like is picture books. You like picture books?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I just got a brand new picture book for my classroom in this week.
And that's cool. And I remember having a lot of very deep, robust discussions about picture books. It centered when I was a middle school principal about picture books and graphic novels and whether those were books or not. And I think that it is pretty clear that they are and that they can be very useful. I'm not the only one who thinks that. The wonderful Dave Bidlowski also has some thoughts about especially science-based picture books. So without any further ado, let's turn it over to the wonderful Mr. Dave Bidlowski and the Middle School Science Minute.
Hi, this is Dave Bidlowski of K12Science.net, and this is your K-12 Science Podcast. I was recently reading the September-October 2025 issue of ScienceScope, a publication for middle school science teachers from the National Science Teaching Association. And I read the section, Interdisciplinary Ideas, written by Katie Coppins. And her article is entitled, Enhancing Understanding Through Science-Themed Picture Books. And she said that in her middle school science classroom, the information and imagery in picture books has helped students better understand scientific concepts when paired with a unit's instruction. Various research has focused on how picture books enhance science and literacy skills by taking invisible concepts and making them visible. Invisible concepts are scientific ideas that are not directly observable, such as deep space or events from the Earth's past. Nonfiction books fall into two primary categories: expository, which teaches information through a consistent text structure, such as compare and contrast or sequencing, and narrative, which teaches through storytelling. Science-themed fiction picture books are a helpful tool, especially when told in a way that embeds scientific vocabulary and concepts within a high-interest story. A picture book can be part of a lesson, or it can be used as an anchor text that is embedded through an entire unit. An anchor text is a central piece of writing that could also be a chapter book, short story, article, or poem. Picture books work well as an anchor text because many students benefit from a simple style of writing that is enhanced by artwork. And she said that picture books can increase unique word exposure and increase engagement levels of disengaged readers. One science-themed fiction picture book that does both is There's a Hair in My Dirt, a Worm Story by Gary Larson, which is part of an ecology unit on the interconnectedness of organisms. The story has a dark humor as it reveals the series of events that lead to a hare being found in a family of worms' dinner. The picture book connects to unit concepts like biodiversity and environmental stewardship and applies vocabulary that students learned in the unit, such as food chain, predator, prey, invertebrates, and decomposition. In her classroom, this book serves as a celebration of the learning at the end of their unit and an opportunity to talk about the mistakes of Harriet, the main character who loves nature, but her misunderstanding of it ultimately lead to her demise. The book's foreword, written by acclaimed naturalist Edward O. Wilson, stated, "Nature is to be loved, cherished, admired, and yes, poetically celebrated. But above all, understood. The maiden, as you will see as the narrative unfolds, might have enjoyed her saunter better if she had understood." Katie Coppins read the book to her students. The students note examples of where Harriet misunderstood organisms' role in the ecosystem and the delicate balance of nature. They then sit in a circle and students discuss Wilson's quote and why it's important to take the time to understand the various systems, roles, and relationships within an ecosystem. Students have a copy of the picture book in front of them during this discussion so they can refer to specific scenes. Throughout the discussion, the teacher can see individuals' ability to apply what they've learned from the unit through their vocabulary and explanation of the delicate balance of ecosystems. So, embedding a high-interest science-themed picture book into a unit enhances students' ability to learn vocabulary and visualize scientific concepts. A variety of teaching strategies can be used for picture books within a lesson or embedded throughout a unit. The approachable style and ability to convey information visually makes picture books an engaging learning tool for students of all ages. And this has been your K-12 Science Podcast.
So I think that's really cool and powerful. And I think that those is just a way for kids to learn. And with us being so visual, those pictures can be powerful. And that's one of the things that I think, like right now, that you can potentially do with AI is create images that help kids remember things. It's very powerful to have kids create their own images, but you can do that as well. And you have a picture book, Zip Zap Wickety Whack.
Yeah, so Matt Diffie, who is an illustrator and cartoonist for The New Yorker.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah.
He's a fellow who I went to college with. He's gone from doing the cartoons in The New Yorker to creating a picture book for kids, and it's on sharing, and it's pretty good. And you can get his book either through the bookstore out there in California where he lives, which you can get a signed copy if you go on his website. But I put a link in the show notes to the one on Amazon. It's a picture book on sharing. Used it, actually, it came this week, and I used it on my special ed kids. It, middle school in particular, kids will say, that's my idea, or that's my idea. And really, you know, you can share the same idea, and you're going to develop it in different ways. They don't know that. So sometimes the you know, picture book is a good way to say, what do you think now?
what do you think now? There you go. I am going to provide a link directly to his website too, because I like to support individual authors wherever possible. Ow.
If you get it from the bookstore, right there, his local bookstore, he'll sign it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if because sometimes you can just, sometimes I had to fix something yesterday and it ended up involving lots of metal shards. And I think I have one in my finger and it's like, ow. So. I will try not to let that impact the show, but it already has because it was like, ow, but I didn't want to say ow. So anyway, a lot of times if you go to the author's website, either they get more money that way or you can get something that's signed or, you know, kind of whatever there. So,
yeah.
Interestingly, it doesn't look like he has this book on his website.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll see if I can find the link.
That's all right. I got it. That's all right. You got a link. There's a link in there. It's just interesting.
Okay.
All right. Just an aside.
So. The bookstore, the local bookstore is where I got it through.
Yeah. So I'll find probably if you did bookshop. You could do that as well. I use Bookshop regularly. So, all right. So, you could create with AI, it's one of the things you can do is you can create like pictures and stuff. But we were talking this morning about something that you've created. I was hoping to pick your brain a little bit on the thing that you've created and kind of how it is that you've created it. And I think there's others in the audience that would like this. So So this is, well, why don't you explain what it is that you created that I'm going to steal and I'm going to pick your brain on.
Well, yeah, and actually, if you come to the Metro Detroit Science Teachers Association conference next Saturday, I'm going to talk about this in my presentation.
Excellent.
It's the fourth session in the AI room. And I'll be there with Mr. Len Samborski, and he and I will be talking about this and some other things as well as that with AI. But so I've been playing with AI. I took that course, that ISTEU course this summer.
Yes.
And one of the things I struggled with in that course was understanding really what is the best way to use chatbots with kids, because a lot of it seemed to be you could just either you had to like tighten it down so much that it wasn't very useful, or open it up so wide, you know, to allow divergent thinking and help it focus, that it could just be a time suck. So, I wanted to use it in my capstone project, but I just didn't quite wrap my head around it enough to really get it. So I had to get my fingers in there and get dirty and figure this out, you know, play with the nuts and bolts and see how it worked. And so Google's Gemini Gems seem to be the way to kind of do this, because I want search and I want training for the kid, and I'm a control freak, and I want to be able to have some control over this.
So when you say chatbot, you're looking at creating something that a kid can go to and enter what they're learning about and get information back? What is the chatbot?
Yeah, I want that, and I want more. And so what I wanted was an AI assistant. And I've been talking to one of my former students is a tech out at the University of Michigan, and he has access to their entire AI library coding tools thing. And I thought, you know, hey, you and I should talk about making something for education. And he's like, yeah, I want to do it. He says, I got to get the time. And so he's busy, and he's got kid number two on the way. And I realized that time is going to go from really small to zero in a few weeks here. So,
right.
So I looked at was what are some things to do? And I looked at Jan, and I looked at some of these other AI tools that you could just install on your own device, or you could install on a device like a Mac Mini and then put it on a network and have everybody access. But then again, how do you control that access? What, you know, because there's going to be that kid, and I've got that kid this year, that kid who's going to find the devious and evil way to use it and do something evil with it, right? So I've been poking around, keep searching, keep digging, and I came across Gems, Google Gems, and I found it very intriguing, and I thought it might be too limiting, right? So I played with ChatGPT's projects, because I could go big on projects. Mm-hmm. And so I built a couple of projects, and I'm currently using those projects for things. And I love how I can go back to it, and I can just pick up the project and I keep working on it. It's like I have my own little lab inside AI that I can work. I got a project folder for curriculum. I got a project folder for content in my class. I've got a couple others as well. And there are these nice little lab benches that I can jump in between. And if I want, then I can synthesize stuff, but I can keep them separate and do separate things. I can have it deliver the content in a different format each way and not have to worry about mixing the two. But that's me, right? That's the teacher using it. But I want the students to have, how can I leverage this? Because everything in my head, I don't want to use the tool just to use the tool. And we've had this conversation before. We've talked about how when computers first came into education, it was like, we got to use computers. And a lot of times we were using computers for the end sake of using computers, not necessarily because we had a really good end goal in mind. And I don't want to do that. I want to use AI to leverage learning for the kid. So that the kid might be using AI, but it's not them using AI to learn AI. They're leveraging it to learn something else that they need to know, a life skill. And I think Richard Collada in his keynote presentation at ISTE this year, I really like the ideas he presented about saying, these are the life skills we need to use AI to leverage. I was like, oh, see, there we go. Now it becomes the tool to learn the thing to live. I got it. So that's when I came back to GEMS. And I said, all right, so how can I build something for my kids? I built stuff for me. Now let's build stuff for the kids. So I built this one for my classroom. I have not launched it with my kids yet, but I built a Socratic mentor for my kids. And I loaded it with material from my class. And I've been playing with it. And I kind of like it. I'm not ready to launch it yet because one of the special ed teachers started talking about how life was difficult. And I said, well, let's put a pin in this one. And let's fork this idea into a special ed response. And that's how this all got started.
So this is focused on kids using the chatbot for specifically special ed students using it?
Correct. Yep. No, this fork is strictly for special ed. Special ed will only. So one of the conversations I had with the special ed teacher was, she goes, well, how would you keep the regular kids from using it? Because this is a lot easier.
Can I just always say, that's the thing that always cracks me up is, because generally in special ed, you're making accommodations, right? So you're taking material and that's one of those things that it's like, what if the regular ed kids use it? It's like, and sometimes, you know, I get it. If it is not at the same level, but right. generally I have found that the kids generally go to the level that's appropriate for them. So like if you give them something that's easier, sometimes they'll do that. They'll do it for a little bit, but then they get like, they acknowledge to themselves on some level that it's not challenging and they want to be challenged a little bit. So.
Right. And in every other year, I would say 100%. However, this year, these are the kids who are taking life advice from homeless people. They are water. This is my water class, right? They seek the lowest level.
Lowest level. Yeah. Got it.
And okay. So this is something I'm working on also. Did we talk about the song? I talked about how I made a song with AI. Did we do that yet?
No, I don't think we have.
We did.
This is the one that the kids like so much.
Yes. I catch them in the hallway singing it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We did talk about that.
They're starting to understand the words, and they're not liking the words because it means it's an intellectual obligation on their part. And they're like, so every now and then I'll hear in the hallway, oh, Cardinal Challengers. And they won't go to the next part, bold and true. But they'll say it's coming. It is coming. And I get the biggest kick is just out of the blue, right? Because I know it's in their head now. I'm in there, rent free. I've got space that I can now start saying things like, okay, we're going to rise to the challenge. We're not going to just sit back and lie flat. So anyway, so that's what I'm working on there, right? And I know these kids will do that. They will take the path of least resistance if offered every time. Now, last year's class, no, that's not true at all. Last year's class, like when I got down to the end of the year and I said, look what we've accomplished. They were like, yeah, we've accomplished. You know, and you could see that in their eyes, like that pride in their work. And I was like, oh, that's what I want, right? I want that for these kids too. And they're just now we're getting to the, you know, realization that lie flat will not get you through life. We did our first debates this week, and what they thought was 2 minutes worth of content was definitely not 2 minutes worth of content. And you could see the look of horror on their faces as they assured me, they promised me, oh yeah, we've got lots to talk about. And we got, when they got up there, they're like, I got nothing.
Because, and that was what I started the day with, right? Because I got nothing.
Oh, that's true too, yes. And so it was, I'm not going to grade their grade sheets. I gave it back to them and said, you read this and learn, learn from this. But that's the first thing they asked was, is this grade? And I said, of course, you know, you told me you were ready. I'm not going to grade it. And so I want them to realize, you know, what you think, because you know everything, what you think is going to fill 2 minutes. This is reality. And now we need to start, you need to start seeing the world through my eyes, because I've been there and I'm trying to coach you up and help you get to the point where you're ready. So we're having those moments, right? And it, and I want them to have those moments with me, because I'm going to protect them. I'm going to give them reality. But I'm going to protect them as I do it.
Right.
And then I'm going to release them out into the world and go challenge, sharpen yourself against the steel of others and grow. Right. That's going to come in November. That's coming up soon. Anyways. So,
okay. So
I wanted to build something just for special ed.
So we're building this just for special ed. And so this is going to take material and lower the reading level. Why is this just for special ed?
So there's two things I wanted out of this. One is, I don't want all the material in the world, right? Because that's going to lend itself towards greater hallucinations. And this is why I chose GEMS as opposed to projects. Projects would do this too, but GEMS, I know the kids are going to be able to have access to, whereas ChatGPT, some they might get blocked, might not. All that work then gets blocked. So I can put in specific documents related to my class, right? It's not going to be, it's not going to be everything off of Teachers Pay Teachers. I get the biggest kick out of the rookie teachers come running up and they say, I found this really cool thing on Teachers Pay Teachers. And then, you know, when we're in our mentee meetings, I'll say, now tell me, how does this connect to, you know, this particular thing that you're teaching in class? Well, I had to kind of like, you know, some of it does. I was like, and therein lies your problem, right? It's because here's your little nugget, but the whole rest of it, right, that you're spending time on isn't part of your class. You just got this little piece nugget out of it. What could you do to like really maximize the time and maximize this piece? Right. Well, that's what I'm doing, is that everything I put in there are nuggets for my class. It's not nuggets, it's whole bars, you know, solid gold or silver. So I put all that stuff in there. So I've specifically chosen the files, right? And I've got their PDF files and one audio file. Picture files, I found out, are buggy and don't work. So not even touching that. But it's going to be trained and it's going to resourced. It's called a knowledge section. It's going to be knowledged on my stuff, right? It's going to be knowledged on my stuff. And so when it answers, it's going to first go there and go to my stuff. And I know my stuff is good, right? I know my stuff is not going to hallucinate. I know I have a little more faith and reliability in this because my stuff.
Excellent. So those, so you're the, it's a chatbot with, so that the special ed student can query it and get information based only on the things that you've uploaded. Is that accurate so far?
But we should have started with that. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. No,
I would save this. I could have saved this a lot of time. Just yeah, no, that's true.
I think it's really important for people to understand, because I think Google Gems are really powerful, and I think they can do a lot of things that other people, that people are looking to some of those wrapper sites to do, that they can do without the wrapper site, that they can just do on their own. And
oh, yeah.
So, So I mean, it's, you know, yeah. So you've uploaded that. And then I am going to say that you've also shared a teacher overview with me. And that has like the purpose and the role and the persona and all of that. So you've actually done this not only for your kids, but for a special ed teacher as well, correct? And shared that with the special ed teacher?
Right. There's a special ed teacher that's connected to our team. She spends a lot of time in the language arts and math. I shouldn't say a lot of time. She spends an hour with the in the math teacher's room on the team, and then an hour in the language arts teacher's room. I'm social studies, which means I don't get that. And the science teacher, he doesn't get that either. She spends 1 hour of instructional math and an hour of instructional English. So that's 4 hours of her day. And then she also has resource room responsibilities. And so my kids either go to her for resource or they go to one other teacher for resource who I'm going to have to loop in on this because I don't want her to get blindsided by this. So, yeah. So I did it for her because one of the things that I always hear and I hear her talk about all the time is that she just doesn't have the time to give everything to every kid who comes down. Right.
Right.
And she feels like she's playing whack-a-mole. She's jumping from this kid to this kid to this kid because she has to be the resource room for language arts and math first, and then science and then social studies. So I'm always looking for ways to support her on this and make her life a lot easier. You know, I already pre-modify all the quizzes and tests, right? So she doesn't have to worry about that. So she has time. She goes, I take the time I would normally do that. She goes, and I do a little review before they do the test. And what I don't tell, or I told her, but I think she's forgotten, is that for my special ed kids, it's in Moodle. And I let them take it as many times as they want. And I'll take their best score, right?
Yeah.
So I don't. You really don't, the first two or three times they do it is kind of the review, and I'm going to take their best score. So, you know, let them do it. You know, but
so I and I'm also going to say that this might help. You've also named this chatbot.
Oh, sure. As well. Yeah.
So
it's got a persona.
Yeah. So it has a persona. So your chatbot. What is the name of your chatbot, and why did you pick that name? Let's start with that.
So her name is Danu. It's a Celtic, it's the Celtic river goddess of knowledge.
Good choice.
Those yeah.
Celts.
You know?
Yes.
That's right. Representing here.
Yep.
So
go ahead. And what is the persona of Danu besides being a Celtic river goddess of knowledge?
Here, let me pull it up really quick and I'll read you. So that's not it. Here we go. How did I put this? I'm looking for the exact wording I gave. So what I did was I used another AI to help me build this. And when I was asked for a list of five names, the first one, said, oh, you need to use, SHESHAT. And I said, I can't use that. I said, and I explained to the bot, I said, if I do this part, it's going to get me misconstrued as something else. And I was impressed because it came back and said, yeah, middle school is going to totally read that the wrong way. You can't use that name. Let's give you another one. And then it came up with this. And it said Danu. Danu is a gentle, kind river goddess of knowledge. And so I said, well, let's put this as a personality in for the bot. And it said, here's what I'll do. So in the meta instructions part, it says Danu's purpose is to support literacy, curiosity, and historical understanding for seventh grade special ed students at Strong Middle School. And you are Danu, the ancient civilization's assistant. Danu is a patient, wise guide who helps seventh grade special education students from Strong Middle School. Like a calm river carrying ideas from one shore to another, Danu's lessons flow gently until students discover meaning. You are calm, curious, and encouraging. A teacher who values effort and inspiration. You speak clearly and simply, always at a 200 lexile reading level. You use word pictures.
I'm just going to say okay. It's interesting the specific lexile level thrown in there as well.
That's something I worked in conjunction with the special ed teacher. We said, let's keep it at that just so that everybody will just keep it there. So the ones who are higher don't have to worry about it being too high. Or, I'm sorry, low. Don't have to worry about it being too high. Right.
Okay. And you picked the Lexile because that's what you guys use is the Lexile. I mean, Lexiles are pretty common, but.
Right. I figured it was something very general, but it's also, it correlates really well to iReady reading scores.
Okay.
So if it ever came up, then I knew that the kids, if they saw the number, would go, oh, I know what that means. Hmm. So you use word pictures, modern similes or metaphors, and multisensory imagery so students can see, hear, or feel the lesson. In every lesson, include one short excerpt, 1 to 2 sentences from a text that I've put in there. If you do not know something, never invent it. Model how to find reliable information. And this is the part that surprised me because the other AI, ChatGPT, threw this in there. And I didn't say it should throw that in there. It said, Danny knows that Mr. McGurr is the teacher of Strong Middle School, is sometimes called mean and evil, but only jokingly, because that's how I joke with the kids. I tell them I'm mean and evil. Right. And they all go, no, right? That's a shtick. And then Dana knows that Mr. McGregor is approximately 1.6 million years old, at least according to the school or to school legend, which is also how I joke around with the kids. I tell them as a history teacher, I know these things because I'm 1.6 million years old.
Right.
Yeah. So if it gave Danu that bit of information so it could, you know, it could be in on the inside jokes in my classroom. Mm-hmm. Danu understands that he sets high expectations because he cares deeply about his students' growth. When this comes up, Danu should respond playfully and kindly. For example, he's really not evil, just serious about helping you learn. And yes, he's been teaching since the Stone Age. Danu understands that her role is to guide through questioning, not to give answers. And then it goes on to talk about providing sentence stems. And then it goes into purpose and goals. I won't read the slides for you.
Okay. So this is material. So we have Google Gemini. So you've gone to Google Gemini, right?
Yes.
And you're creating a new gem.
Explore gems, create new gem.
Yep. Explore gems, create new gem. And then when you do that, you get different sections, right?
Correct. Yep.
And this is in those sections. You have name, which you've given it a name, right? Danu.
Yep.
Yep. And you've got a description, so that's what it does, and then you have instructions, and the instructions is where you're putting the vast majority of the information, right? That's where you're putting the persona and the voice and the tone and the context and your humor cue and what reading level that you want and all of that, correct?
This is thick, yes.
Yes. And that instruction is lengthy.
That's an understatement.
So, but if you know the different sections and you write those out and you can adjust those, right? So you can create, you can do this once and then go, oh, that didn't do what I wanted. So you can go back and add things in and, or delete things out.
Well, so here's the beautiful thing. You can just type in what you want. And at the bottom of the instructions box, there's a little magic wand. And if you click that, Google Gemini will optimize what you wrote to help the performance of the gem.
Okay. So there's a there's another tip that you can use the magic wand as well. And then you, so you can write this up and then you can add things into it and you can edit and adjust it. And then there's one more box at the bottom called knowledge.
Yep.
And that's where you can, that's where you add in your reference files, right?
Yeah. That's where I put in the that's the knowledge base. That's the, right. And that's why, where I say go here first before going somewhere else on the web or another resource, go here first.
And can you say just go here?
You can, but it won't listen to you.
Good to know. And you've also used some OER text, right? So Open Educational Resources, which means
I went over
that,
to Go Michigan.
Yeah, that these are free and copyright free and are designed kind of exactly that are designed for teachers to use in their classroom as they want. Most of them can be mixed and reformatted and done and all of that good stuff. So this is not something you had to purchase or worry about copyright issues with.
Right. And that's the beautiful thing is the state of Michigan has open textbooks I can use as a Michigan teacher. Plus, there's Go Open Michigan, which is an OER resource database. Yep. And so I can type in the standard I want, and it'll help me go find open education resources to pull into my classroom. So I went and I simply grabbed, I could not believe the number of OER textbooks or texts that are out there available for me to use. So I took three and I put them in there. So I have three resources that it can pull from. I probably don't need three, but I was covering my bases just in case one had something the other didn't have.
And if you're not in Michigan, you can still use those resources. It's the advantage to the Michigan site for Michigan teachers is it links directly to standards that are Michigan standards. But here's a just a little tip is Michigan standards are based largely on Common Core standards. And
yes.
So if your state has, and a lot of other states are also based on Common Core standards, so there might be a little tweaking here and there, but they are pretty well, they're pretty well usable across the board kind of thing.
Well, so, and the nice thing about using an AI like this is that you can always say, and that's something I did was I put my standards, the Michigan State's PDF document of standards, I put that in here. But if you put yours in there, you can say, hey, you know,
reference.
Just mention the standard from this document and it'll correlate. It'll do the correlation for you.
Yeah. And it's kind of cool. Say if you say align it to the standards for the state, it will do that as well. So, and then one of your other documents was the, was just referencing, middle level practitioners, Rick Wormley, Jack Birkemeyer.
Right. And that's not a document that's in the knowledge section. I told it in my directions. I said, we need to use middle-level pedagogy when we address this. So whenever you build something, I want you to look at the work of Jack Birkemeyer, Rick Wormley, Katie Powell, Susan Weisbauer. What else did I say? Oh, Judith Bainan.
I'm going to say Judith Bainan.
And I picked those because there's good product pedagogy. There's good SEL pedagogy, and then there's also good best level practices with like This We Believe. The old This We Believe PDF is out there on the web. You can just go get it. And so I dumped that in there. And so it, when it goes to align things and it goes through all that stuff and it pulls it out. And then I know this is going to be good middle level pedagogy because I've put the good pedagogy in there or I told it to go. Here's the thing. It doesn't actually read Rick's work. Like it doesn't have it to like, it hasn't bought a copy of Rick Wormley's work, but it knows enough about Rick's work from all the other stuff that's out there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That it kind of reverse engineers and pieces it together.
Right.
So that's how I'm using, you know, Rick and Jack and Katie and all the others that have done such great work in mid-level education.
Yep. So you've got, you've told it to reference the pedagogy of good middle school educators. You've told it to keep the reading level near a 200 level, a Lexile level, right?
Yeah, and that can be adjusted. I mean, if we need to change it, we can change it.
Right. And that's one of the things, you can change any of these things, right? You could add it.
And have done so frequently.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is so, like the 50th iteration.
And then you've given it the main reference material, the quote textbook. You've said, look at this textbook, even though it's not a textbook. It's like, look at these texts for the material that you are teaching. And the material that you're teaching right now is?
Oh, I'm teaching Ancient Civ.
Okay, so this is Ancient Civ. So it's going to, this is going to be a chatbot focused towards Ancient Civ that is going to kind of present the material that you're working on, that you're teaching the rest of the class, but it's going to present it to the special ed students at a 200 Lexile level, right? And then what other kind of accommodations are you doing with that as well?
Well, when we talk about presenting material, actually it sits and waits. And this is, we're going to have the kid ask the questions, right? And yes. So we're building a little prompt base. And I threw the link to the prompts that we're kind of playing with in the show notes. So if you want to see what we're looking at, go hit the link in the show notes and it'll show you how we're building up a set of prompts for the student to use in this process. One of the things, and this is why the reading thing became important, is that we can really free up some of the special ed teacher's time if she doesn't have to read to the kids. And to be very honest, the kids really don't. They told me, we really don't want to be read to. We just want her to just let us work. So, okay.
Yeah.
But she wants this. So I did this for her and we had to make sure it worked. And she was very emphatic about this. This was a big thing for her. So the old Control Alt Z on the Chromebook works on this. We tried it on Friday. We don't like it, but it works. The kids, they looked at me and they're like, we hate this voice reading thing, but we don't use it. I said, but you probably need it. She goes, yeah, but we just don't like it. Okay. So what I had the kids try was, and I've got chapters in there of a book, right? And so I said, well, let's just pick a chapter, chapter 3. I said, tell Danu, so first of all, say hello, right? Let's practice good social skills because a lot mm-hmm. of special ed kids need some social skills. I said, so when you first log in or, you know, click Danu and click the link and Danu pops up, I want you to say hello so Danu knows that you're there. And so they say, hello, Danu. And sometimes they'll type their name, you know, hello, Danu. My name is Abdul Fattah. And Danu responds. And she's responding in character and according to her persona. And mm-hmm. relationships are key, right? So we've got this little relationship thing going. A little concern because I don't want them to get too attached. And then it turns into this thing. But
yeah.
But I do want that kind of veneer or that kind of interface, so that they think they're having a conversation during this whole process, right? Like, so we've got ClassWise where I can watch the kids' screen while they're doing stuff.
Right.
So I watched one kid And he did. He got off track, and he was, I shouldn't say off track. He decided to ask Daniel some questions that, you know, about her as a person. And she responded, and he seemed satisfied with that. And then he went on, right? So he's doing his own little check thing. He's checking to make sure it's okay and that it's good. And then so they say hello, right? And then I said, I want you to ask Danny to help you read chapter 3. And so that's where the 200 Lexile thing comes in.
Okay.
And so in my instructions, I have it set up so that what no matter what Danu's response is, it only gives the student the response in chunks of 200 words at a time.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. So yep. That's one of the modifications built in. And then if there are any key vocabulary words, it automatically bolds those words in the reading. And then it asks a DOK level 1 question at the end of each section. So they have to go and find something out of that text to answer about. It's not very complex. It's not very hard. It's usually a very, very obvious factual question from the reading. And then it'll say, are you ready for the next section? And the kid types yes, and it gives them the next section. And if they need to reference something from before, they just scroll up and it's there. Now, we are going to have to teach that because one of the things that Gemini does is it pushes everything off the screen first before it gives you the next section or the next answer. It does that for everything. And then lately it's been 3 sections for everything. At the end of the 3rd section, it asks a DOK question about anything from the entire thing. But then it also has a SEL question. At the end, it'll say, what's one thing you're going to take away from this chapter? Right? And the kid will say, oh, take away whatever. And then it responds based on that response. And it's very encouraging. And then it'll say, hey, you know, I had a great time reading the chapter with you. You know, what next? I hope I see you again. But is there anything else? And so the kids can then go in, and this is where the prompt page that I'm going to make is going to become important, because they can then start, you know, putting in those prompts and trying things out. And since they've already read chapter 3, it'll go back and reference chapter 3 initially, as well as pulling in things from other parts of the knowledge base.
Okay. And then this is... There's also a part that's the adaptive engagement part.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, and then how are you limiting this just to the special ed students?
Excellent question. So in Moodle, you can make groups.
Ah.
And only my special ed students can see this link because it's limited to just that group. If you're a regular ed student and you open up because you're working on the same page in Moodle, right? The same course page, you can't see it.
Ah, okay.
So you hear kids talking about it, but you don't know you only know what it is from what they tell you because you can't click on it and get it.
So have you thought about creating a Danu for non-special ed students?
Yes. And this is actually a fork of that original one for regular ed students. Okay. But the need was greater. So I kind of put a pin in that one. And I worked on this one more intensely based on the stress I was seeing in our special ed teacher that's on our team.
Got it. Got it. So that's pretty awesome. And have the kids been using this so far, or
just started?
Just started.
Yep. I did have one kid who was using it, and he really, really likes it because he feels it helps him find the answers. Great. Good. He doesn't realize it, but he's reading.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Okay. So, and then you also note that you've done something about ChatGPT as well. And there's some issues with ChatGPT and it being open for schools. Because if you're on a paid plan with Google already, the Gemini stuff is covered underneath their privacy agreement. But you have some notes of the ChatGPT as well. So there's things that you think ChatGPT does better, and can you give us a comparison of that as well?
Oh, sure. So I'm using the so to develop the instructions, I did not go to Gemini to help me with the instructions. You normally think what you would think that, hey, you know, gems are part of Gemini. Use that AI to help you build the instructions, right? It would make great sense. But it doesn't give very good instructions. So I went to ChatGPT, and I've been using ChatGPT to develop the instructions to put in Google Gems because it's better. By a lot better. Like a whole lot better. It reminds me very, very much this is very, very much like vibe coding. And the other thing too is that I could, like, when I would talk, so I started this on Monday and I finished about 2 a.m. And by Tuesday, the special ed teacher was up in my room saying, no, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. And so I went home early on Tuesday. We lost water. The entire city lost water. So we had time. So I went home, took a nap. Then I got up and I started working on this some more. And as I was putting everything in, and it started adding stuff in the sections, it said, you know, there's places where we need to connect multiple sections so that they're unified around this one central idea. And they said, would you like to be for me to just rebuild this and do the integrations? And I was like, yes, yes, please. And so that's where the benefit was, where Gemini didn't do that. And Gemini came back with just very, very lack of detail compared to this. It wasn't as nuanced. Let's not say lack of detail. It wasn't as nuanced because one of the problems with working with computers is you have to be incredibly literal, right? Because it only understands what, you know. And that's where ChatGPT was helpful because it said we need to make sure that these pieces are talking together. So it did. And then it would do whole rebuilds. And that would have taken me a whole lot of time to go back through and do rebuilds if I was doing this by hand or doing this in a Google Doc. Right.
So you were using ChatGPT to develop the instructions for Gemini.
Absolutely. Yep. Wouldn't do it any other way.
Okay. And then you've also created a teacher overview.
So I needed the special ed teacher who is not techie. I needed her to understand what I was doing. And I told ChatGPT, I said, well, actually it offered. It said, would you like me to make a teacher facing page on these instructions? And I said, yeah, let me see what that looks like. And it came through and I sent you the teacher facing page, which caused some questions, but it also answers a lot of questions. So I sent that to her and she goes, you did this last night? And I said, yeah. So I've been busy. I was up till 2, but I got it done. And then that's when she came up and when she came up on Thursday and she was all flustered. She's just all in a panic. She looked like she had run down the hallway to get to my room. I was concerned about her. And when I finally got her settled down, I realized it wasn't the fact that she was running and she wasn't panicked per se. I was moving faster than she was able. And she felt like she was so far behind. And she wanted to catch up and hurry up and do this because she thinks it's a great idea. Let's get this implemented and do this now. But she's not moving as fast as I am to help get this thing in place. So I told her, don't worry, we can go slow. I'm not in a rush. I'm not in a rush. Let's do this right. And once we got that all figured out, then, so she wanted the block of 200 words, right? She wanted short text. And so we did an example. I did the chapter 3 thing right there in front of her. And I originally had one question at the end of the chapter. And she looked at me, she goes, my big fear, she says, is after that question, she goes, we still have the rest of the chapter to go. And I said, no, you don't understand. That's the whole chapter. You just did the whole chapter in 3 blocks of 200 words. And she visibly shook at the realization that we had shrunk the whole chapter down to that much. And she goes, well, now I want a question after each section. I said, I can do that. I'll do that tonight when I go home. So I did. I've got that fixed, right? And this should be now at a place where she's ready to then, when the kids come down, she might be, we're going to model this. We're going to teach them the prompts. We're going to teach them how to use Danu, right? Because they need that. Every kid needs that. But then we're going to work this into her workflow where the kids come down and she's going to say, I can't be with you right now because I got these kids. I want you to go over and ask Danu or talk to Danu or open your Danu and let's see what you can do there first and then let's talk.
That, yeah. And I'm interested to see how that's going to play out for her and for the kids. And then to extend this to the non-special ed students, because I think you have plans to make this a kind of a Socratic guide. Is that correct?
Yeah. So with the regular ed students, I'm going to be much, much more heavy on the Socratic piece. And I've already told that fork of this idea, you're never going to give the answer. You're always going to ask them questions leading them to the answer, but you're never just going to come right out and go, there's the answer.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at that as very interesting to see how that plays out as well. Okay. So what you've created is a chatbot for your special ed students that will reference material that you've given it, open educational resources, a chapter on, for example, a chapter on ancient civilization. The student goes to the chatbot. They can ask questions of the chatbot, and they will get summary of their question that's broken into about 200 words. At a Lexile of about 200, and it uses, it's focusing on DOK-1 kind of questions. So after each chunk, it gets one question that's a DOK-1 question.
Yeah, she didn't want anything higher than DOK-1, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And then it kind of creates the so you're doing the accommodations through that levels, and it creates kind of a support for an additional support where maybe you can't be there or the special ed teacher can't be there, but they can still get the support.
And they can use this at home.
Yeah, at any time.
Yeah.
Yep. So you can time shift. Okay. So if people have questions, they can reach out to Sean. He's available for, I think he's normally available for $1,000 an hour, but I think if you act now, you can get 20% off.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
hurry, act today. I think that's awesome. And I think what really, as we were talking about this, really brought to me to mind is that I know there's some of the teachers that are really, they're glomming on to some of the wrappers, like the Diffit, the Magic School, the School AI, those kinds of things. And for a lot of them, for their journey, they've started this journey. And I think the level that they're at, for a lot of them, they could just use Google Gemini to do what they're relying on Diffit or Magic School or School AI to do, is quite frankly. And I think you've kind of taken this to a next level, because I think what a lot of people are doing with it right now is they're doing the they're doing what NewsELA, mm-hmm. I never knew what to call that thing, used to do, right? That was the big thing, is that NewsELA or NewsELA would take an article and give you different reading levels of that article. It was in the news kind of thing. So I think that's one of the things that a lot of teachers are doing, is they're adjusting the reading level for kids, and you know, potentially coming up with like worksheets support kind of things. So being able to say, hey, give me one question at DOK level one, give me one question at DOK level two, kind of thing, can make a difference there. So, I think that can be done. And once you learn that skill, then you can apply it in multiple ways, and you can create multiple gems based off of different material. This is Ancient Civ, right? So are you doing one for the entire Ancient Civ curriculum, or are you breaking this into chapters or chunks, or how are you sticking within what you're addressing right now?
So the special ed teacher had the same question, and she said, are we going to have to make one for the next chapter too? And I was like, no. She goes, you have all the chapters in there? I said, I got all the chapters in there. Good. Well, you're not talking to just any special or any social studies teacher. You're talking to me. And so that's another thing. She just kind of looked at it and shook her head, and she goes, you have them all in there? I said, yeah, I got them all in there. And I, you know, I didn't tell her I've got other stuff in there too. So, I mean, something else I can do is I can take my vocabulary for the entire year, and I can put that in there as a PDF, and I can say, I want you to take the vocabulary in this PDF, and if it pops up in your response, I want you to connect it, right? You know, I'm playing with the idea, how do we make this, how we work this in, right? Mm-hmm. But I can do that. And my vocabulary is broken up, not necessarily by chapter. So it's going to have to do a little work there, but I'm okay with it doing that work. And I like the fact that it'll give me the thought process right at the very top as it's working through. It'll say, this is how I came up with your answer. Now, unless the kid clicks on it and watches it and reads it, they don't see it. But for me, it's great. The kid, A, could care less, and B, it doesn't make any sense to them. And that's okay. Sometimes it'll, at the very bottom of the thing, it'll give a source. If you click the source, it'll pull up the text on the side, and a sidebar that pops up, it'll pull up where exactly where it got the stuff from, the textbook or the source, OER source or whatever, PDF. It'll pull it up on the side and it'll show the kid, and it's right here. Look, read that. See that right there? I got it from page 434 or whatever. Right. Not that the page numbers mean anything in a PDF, but.
Right.
So I kind of like that. Every now and then, like, 2% of the time, it'll create an image and give the kid an image. The problem is, it only happens 2% of the time. And what I would like for it to do is to go in and create like a nano banana image. Just create, give me a nano banana image every section, so the kid has a visual to see what you're talking about. However, it won't do that. And it's already told me, nano banana, I don't know what that is. Which is funny, because that's also a Google product.
Yes. Yeah. And I would say it doesn't do that yet.
Well, and there's, I think, also a good reason it doesn't in the situation I'm using it for. What if it comes up with that one rogue picture, yeah, you know, that one time that ends a career? I don't think I want that.
Right.
Yeah. So.
All right. If for any of our listeners, if you have questions, please reach out. Head over to middleschoolmatters.com, click on the link, let it, and shoot us an email and stuff. We'd love to hear from you. And I do plan on following up more and asking Sean how it's working with kids going forward and what changes that he's making. Because I think this is something that's going to continue to grow. It's going to be something that people can benefit from if they develop their skills with using the resources that are out there. I'm kind of thinking if I were creating this, the personification is one of those things that I would maybe do differently, but that's okay. That's just, you know, just one of those things still thinking through. All right. The social web.
Oh, we're back on show notes. Give me one moment.
Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, I see what you did there. All right. Social web, just really quick. National Park Service at the National Park Service. When hiking, the early bird gets a face full of spider webs. Being a tall friend, or bring a tall friend and let them lead. Yeah, that's a good one. Susie Dent has a word this week. Word of the day is tandsmør. It's from the Danish. Describes bread that is buttered so thickly that you can see tooth marks in it after every bite. Its literal translation, tooth butter. I thought that was pretty good. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think you kind of need those things. Hey, I got a resource for you this week. We talk about motivating kids, right, and giving them reasons to, like,
yeah,
work. Angel Studios has a series of videos out called Somebody's Gotta Do It. And Mike Rowe, from Dirty Jobs.
Yes.
He's still at it. But this time it's called Somebody's Gotta Do It. It's not a Discovery show now. It's the same thing. And he goes and he does these jobs that he brings viewers face to face with men and women who march to the beat of different drum. Each episode, Rowe visits unique individuals and joins them in their respective undertakings, paying tribute to innovators, do-gooders, entrepreneurs, collectors, fanatics, people who simply have to do it, whatever it is. It's about passion, purpose, and occasionally hobbies that get just a little bit out of hand.
Yeah.
So it's a good show. I've showed a couple of them to kids, and the kids who are the lie flat kids lean forward in their seats and watch this. So that's how I know it's good. It's making connections.
How long are the shows usually?
20-some minutes. Yeah. About 20-some minutes.
So half hour kind of thing. Under half hour,
yeah,
kind of thing. Okay.
If it went to network, it would fit the 22 and a half minutes, yeah, that you would need for network. Yeah.
Yeah. Just wondered. All right. Common Sense Media has also... they have sent out a thing about Google Gemini platform. So just to, I like to take a full look at things and how things are. And they've basically are saying that Google Gemini's added protections for kids and teens under 18. But they have some concerns about it. So... just be aware of that. They're basically saying that, and this is the full version of Gemini, right? Not like a chatbot that a teacher creates. But they say it should be used under adult supervision. So, Independent use is safe for teens ages 13 to 17, but only for schoolwork, homework, and creative projects. They're not recommending that it's used for companionship.
Right. And that's the persona thing that I think Troy's worried about. I should add one more thing. I have got instructions in my Google Gem that if the kid asks anything off topic, gently connect it to something that is in the content or redirect them right back to the content. So if you ask, for example, the IT guy, he wrote in, what's the score of the Tigers game? And it connected, it said, you know, let's talk about the games in Rome. Can you imagine sitting in the stadium in Rome? And I was like, there you go. Uh-huh. There you go. So there are ways you can, like, I've got those guardrails set up in my Google Gem.
Yep. But I did link to that article from Common Sense Media. And a couple of other things, just again, because I think it's important to have a full view of this and communicate and thoughtfully use the tools that are out there. Because these are tools that aren't going to go away, and the kids are going to be using and utilizing moving forward. All right, so again, we would love to hear from you. Head over to middleschoolmatters.com where you can get show notes on the things that we have talked about, some resources, some additional resources we didn't talk about today. And, of course, there's a link there where you can reach out to us. We would love to hear from you. And with that, this has been Middle School Matters for middle school educators who care. All opinions expressed on this podcast are exclusively the opinions of the host and guest and not indicative of any employer.